Welcome to Sharing Socks after a little 3 week hiatus while Will was busy producing a short film that all of you will come to know and love in about 2 years when it finally gets done and is out on the film festival circuit. I am Southside Sox duty geezer Lee Allen. With me, my son and West Coast correspondent Will. And for those of you doing audio but not video, behind him is a Marcus Semien in White Sox gear, cut off at around shin level, which is about what the chances are of getting the entire Marcus Semien
It's a
playing for the White
semi,
Sox.
it's a semi-Semien, which I think is about what we will be in the market for when it comes to actually getting a second baseman.
We got a team here that cannot witness the way picking up the option on our wonderful, not quite a closer person, but they can't admit that they made a mistake with Craig Kimbrel trade. They're sure as hell not going to admit the much, much bigger mistake on Semien and Bassett. So, that can't be. No, we should have had them all in them. They can't do that. It's not going to. Plus, it would cost money, as I understand.
I mean, it's really easy for us as White Sox fans to look at the last 5 years of trades and just vomit. Just because the Semien and Bassett one you're talking about, of course, the Fernando Tatis. Now we've had our share of good ones in getting Moncada and Aloy.
But we gave up a
But
lot for those.
we gave up a lot. And
Although in
for
one case, we only gave up
Kimbrel,
Eden.
yeah. Kimbrel is actually the really tough one there, just because Hoyer and Madrigal are looking like they're going to be pretty good for quite a while, and Craig is unfortunately, I think, nearing retirement.
Yeah, I think that he had a few good months in there, but it just doesn't seem like much is going to happen. Meanwhile, where else are we? Carlos Rodon, of course, did not get the qualifying offer. Scott Boras looking for multi-years. His name doesn't come up that much at the very top of the pitcher list, and that's always that's got a couple guys way out there of particular interest. Hall of Famer persons, Scherzer for currently, Justin Verlander for looking back and forward maybe. Big moves on the pitcher front, though. Noah Syndergaard, signed by the Angels,
That is a really surprising
who has pitched, I think, two
move to
innings in 2 years.
me. Yeah, I mean he's I think that's exactly the number. I think he's pitched about 2 innings in 2 years, and I mean there are a few people who have stuff like Noah Syndergaard when he's healthy. I mean he is absolutely a top 10 pitcher in baseball when he's healthy. I'm a little surprised to see the Angels go for him at 1 year, 21 million. I guess that's the Angels not wanting to take a risk. I would have liked to see him get signed to the White Sox on a multi-year deal, even with the injury question mark, just because if he is going to be healthy, man, he is
Yeah,
insanely
he's a horse
valuable. He's
for sure.
insanely valuable, and
But if
especially
they'll
around
take a
20
chance
million a
on
year.
his health, they're certainly going to be taking a chance on Rodon's health, and he's going to get a good contract before this is over. And I think it could come very soon. Oh, let's go back to Craig Kimbrel.
Here's a question though. Would you pay Carlos Rodon more than you would pay Noah Syndergaard next year?
Next year, yeah.
You would. Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I
I think
don't
maybe
dis
not over many years, but Syndergaard has got this thing. I mean, what was the problem that we've talked about? Probable with Rodon wearing out at the end of the year. He'd only pitched 40 innings in the last 2 years. That's going to be a problem for Syndergaard in 2022. It will not necessarily be a problem for Syndergaard at any point after that. But for that first year, it's
Well,
Steve
and of
Stone. Steve
course,
Stone's my pitching guru. That first year is going to be rough to get much out of him, as far as depth of season goes.
yeah, totally. I think I'll be surprised if we see Rodon get more than 21 million for the one season. I don't know if anyone's going to gamble on him on a multi-year. But I'm not convinced that he will get paid more than that 21. Also, because the Angels are the worst when it comes to contracts. And maybe Syndergaard's being overpaid by $15 million for next season. It's very possible as well.
One of the teams that got mentioned occasionally as a possible Rodon site was the Tigers. I think probably with them signing E-Rod, Eduardo Rodriguez, that's out because he's a lefty. They've probably loaded up on their big money lefties. A huge contract for him.
Yeah, there's no way they're going to sign Carlos Rodon for more than $18.5 million after just making that sign. Like, there's
and of course, the Angels were another possible landing spot for him, but he's got plenty more. I think he's going to go to Seattle. That's my guess is Seattle.
I would love to see him go to Seattle. If he's not going to stay in Chicago, just because Seattle, I think, is doing the rebuild very well. And I think that would get us some Carlos Rodon in the playoffs next year if he were to go there. I don't think the Angels will ever go to the playoffs ever again, no matter how much they spend on whoever. But yeah, I mean, obviously we don't want him going to the Tigers. If the Tigers had E-Rod, Carlos Rodon, and Carlos Correa, that does not bode well for our easy division. In fact, it would give me some real pause about running away with this division. But yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to go quick, going back to Kimbrel. I think we'd agreed, and many other commenters agreed, well, they must have a deal in place, you know, when they picked up this $16 million to throw away. The GM meetings are over. Han had his big speech at the end of the GM meetings, which basically said nothing. And they didn't have a deal, and the deals are being made. I think if there really was a deal in place to unload Kimbrel's contract, it would be done. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be one done, but there wasn't one in place at the time that they made that decision.
I totally agree. I think, well, I'll add one more qualifying word, good. I think if there was a good deal to be done, it would have been done already. I think now that hasn't happened, what we will see is eating 12 of the 16 million and getting a decent outfielder, outfielder, down in the minors. Because I totally agree. If you're going to give him that money and say, he's got value on the market and then he doesn't move, then I'm very suspicious about there ever having been a real thing in place. Incidentally, I'm reading about Syndergaard's deal here. Not to go back too much, but they're saying he turned down a $25 million deal from somewhere. I'd be really interested to find out where that is. But it's fascinating to me that anyone would turn down more money to go play for the Angels. But I guess, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, Anthony Rendon, I get why you would want to go out there.
Yeah, they got some sticks.
But if we got people turning down 25 mil for a year, I don't know who the White Sox are going to add. I don't know who they're going to add. I really don't. It's trouble.
Speaking of Ohtani, a quick move to the other positions. Semien, we've talked about, we're not going to get him for second base, and I really hope that Mr. Gonzalez does fine out there next year. Or Leury, when they bring him back after screwing him out of $1 million to get his contract down. But in right field, still talk Castellanos, Conforto. My favorite, and he is supposed to be coming out any time now, is Seiya Suzuki. They're supposed to post him soon. I think that's a gamble we're taking. Castellanos is a fine hitter. He is a terrible outfielder. And if you have him in right and Aloy and or Andrew Vaughn in left, Luis Robert is going to be so worn down by the end of the year, he's going to weigh 118 pounds because he's going to be running from sideline to sideline, catching everything.
True.
or chasing down the ones that went by those other guys. And Suzuki is supposed to be an excellent outfielder. Apparently all guys who play in the outfield named Suzuki are. So I like that. I mean, there will be other teams after him. It's not going to be, oh, the White Sox have a crack there. And usually Japanese players like the West Coast better. But that doesn't, you know, we've had very fine Japanese players in Chicago.
Absolutely. I'm looking at Suzuki's stats here. Obviously, they're all JPWL, JPCL. I mean, the numbers are great. You know, you try to think of Japanese baseball a bit more as a AAA comp than a pro baseball comp. So if these numbers were coming up in the major league system in AAA, I mean, this is a highly desirable guy whose power seems to be on the incline, even 8-9 years into his career, 9 seasons in. At this point, you know, last year, it looks like there was a little bit of injury stuff going on, but still hitting around 320, 38 home runs, 88 RBIs, 139 hits. That's
bunches
over
of stolen bases.
That's over 9 stolen bases, caught 9 times, caught 4 times. That's only through 436 at bats. So that's a pretty good. I mean, that's a great AAA line. I think that's a line that would bring you up to Major League Baseball for sure. Easily, especially 38 home runs.
And think of the chant. You got to love the chant. Hey, oh, say, oh, hey, oh, say, oh. Just do that one over and over and over because baseball fans aren't very imaginative.
I mean, that is, yeah, I was ready to smack talk that chant a little bit, but now that I'm thinking about it, it's actually pretty good. It's actually a pretty good chant.
I thought
hey,
so.
Hey, oh, say, oh. I could see people getting into that. I mean, obviously, this would be an interesting person to go for. Do I think the White Sox will? No. I think most likely he ends up in Anaheim or Seattle. It's quite possible Seattle won't be able to throw quite so much money at him. But
I don't know that either of those teams are outfield desperate.
Well, I mean, it kind of depends. I wouldn't call the Mariners anything desperate at this point. Their rebuild's going pretty well, according to plan. The Angels, I mean, they're going to get Mike Trout back, but outside of that, you might as well keep looking for new guys because the Angels just can't get it done. I didn't mean for this to become an Angels hating podcast, but as someone who lives near the Angels and they're so disappointing, I don't even want to drive 40 minutes to go to their games. I'll be surprised if he doesn't go there. But I hope he doesn't for the sake of baseball, because when great players go to the Angels, it's just kind of a bummer. You know, we're looking at the possibility of never seeing Mike Trout in the World Series, which is bonkers to me. We'll see what happens there. But in terms of second base, I don't think we've, really made any advances on anyone in the last 3 weeks.
Rory Gonzalez doesn't count.
Romy? Romy counts. So we have a guy who exists and has played the position. So he counts as a human who has played second base. However, you know, if Romy ends up being the answer, I'll say it already. I'm happy to eat dirt on this. I would love for Romy to be good. He's charming. He seems like a nice fellow. He seems like he loves baseball. So if it ends up being Romy, that's great. But honestly, at this point, I think it will end up being Romy slash Lurie, because I don't see any of these other guys, especially now that we're starting to see some hints of where people are going to go. Obviously, we're not going to get Marcus Semien. Corey Seager is looking extremely unlikely. That probably would have been my pick to try to go for Corey Seager if we were going to spend on a second baseman, just because he's not a great shortstop, but he would probably be at the top of the second baseman in the American League, outside of Altuve, in terms of plate production and defense at that point. And having him up the middle with Tim Anderson's a pretty fiery combo. Adam Moncada at third, and that's a really, really impressive infield. But, you know, especially with Correa likely going to Detroit, Corey Seager might as well just buy his custom Yankees jersey with his name on it now, because he's going to New York. And
you want to go from second base to backup catcher? Little humor there.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't see any of the other remotely reasonable options coming to the White Sox. I honestly think, and I know this is very defeatist and very White Sox. We'll take a break here before we go on, but I am getting the vibe that nothing's going to happen. but yeah, with that in mind, let's just take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more about what could happen in the weeks to come, including the potential for no baseball season at all.
Correct.
Which is the number one prediction I'm seeing from a lot of baseball experts out there. So we'll be right back to talk about that, because that's obviously pretty big news, and more. So stick with us on Sharing Socks. All right, welcome back to Sharing Socks. Just before the break, we kind of hinted at the possibility of a work stoppage, but I just want to make sure with my co-host here that in terms of off-season moves, you have anything else you want to look at before we talk about?
No. And on the work stoppage front, I'd say they have really kept this one tight. There's very, very, very little information coming out. The things that have been thrown out there so far from either side are just stupid. I mean, there are a few very minor things, you know, National League, DH and stuff, but as far as actual contractual matters, this 29 and a half thing that the owners came out with. Right. So a guy who happens to make it to the major leagues at 19 is your slave for 10 years. Well paid slave, but a slave for 10 years. That's, you know, instead of the current six, that's not going to fly. You knew that. If they said 29 and a half or 6 years for the guys who don't make it till they're older, that's fair. So that nobody has to become a free agent at 33 when their value has gone way down, which does happen. And happens fairly often, actually.
It certainly does, but it shouldn't happen when you're coming up at the appropriate time. I mean, if it happens because you didn't make it to the bigs till 27, 28, that's one thing. But if you make it up at 22, that's kind of what you were supposed to do. So it's a pretty nasty punishment. And I think there's obviously no way that will fly. You see it in other sports. We are way more than baseball and basketball and football. We are very much getting away from any sort of long team contracts whatsoever. I mean, basketball, I think eventually you're going to see all the superstars switching teams every 3 years forever. It's becoming so much more about the players than the teams. And football is kind of similar. Baseball, we still have these guys on these mammoth contracts, which is really surprising considering some of them have been very recent, you know, with Harper, Machado, Trout, even, you know, these are huge 10, 11 year deals, that I think will go away from baseball as well. Just because ultimately they're not good for the owners, and soon they're not going to be good for the players, because the players are going to see what's going on in basketball and football and think, hey, I'd actually like to be a free agent again in 2 years and test this market all over again and try to get that 30 million a year up to 37 million a year. That kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know that they're going to play baseball in March.
We're sitting here talking about all these important trades or acquisitions and they can be meaningless. I think there'll be a season at some point. I don't necessarily think that it will begin with spring training at the end of February, and so on through. No, it's and again, we can't tell because they are so. It's been very secretive. It's amazing that there aren't more leaks. Yeah, and we're sitting now. December 1st is the deadline. We're recording this on November 17th, so 2 weeks from today, the contract expires, and at that point, it becomes a lockout situation. Unless they can extend, they can say, "Well, give it 30 more days or whatever." But if they don't do anything, that's it for a while.
Well, we're definitely looking at the extension. I think there's a 100% chance that on December, what's the date for it? The first?
December 1st.
December 1st. Yeah, I think December 1st we're certainly going to hear we're certainly going to hear on December 1st that they're adding time to that because 2 weeks, I mean, the fact that we have no information about this thing and we're 2 weeks out and they are keeping such a tight wrap on it does not bode well for a December 1st glorious reveal that they've come to an agreement. So I think there's a 100% chance that they will be letting us know about an extension on November 30th or something like that. But I read a lot about whether or not this season's going to happen. A lot of people think absolutely not. Some people think there will be no season whatsoever. If that were to happen, what do you think happens to baseball?
It craters. I don't think it craters indefinitely if it comes back strong the next year and there's a good storyline somewhere, like McGuire and Sosa after the last time around, even though it turned out to be a very tainted story, it was a big story. Unless there are those kinds of things, I mean, you lose. People just. Oh, guess what? There's soccer over the summer, whatever it may be. Something will fill in that gap. And people will go, well, you know what? Turns out I enjoy watching golf on TV. I never thought I would. It's these things can happen, and you're going to lose a percentage. Most people will come back because most of us are diehards and we've loved baseball since birth and so forth and so on. We'll come back, but most is not enough for them. They need everybody coming back. It's been a big growth
Everybody
statistic.
plus more.
Yeah, and it's a
They
growing thing, and you need that to spread around. Boy, this is really cool, and friends and family and whatnot, and we grow. And TV, I don't, your TV contracts are shot. They've got huge new TV contracts, just humongous, which would be interesting to see the owners let that die. I can't seem that that can happen. Jerry will go crazy because he's got a brand new huge TV contract too, the biggest in baseball. That is the downturn, and probably by a couple of shows from now, we'll have some sense of where it is going. But it is not going well. It's more fun to sit around and talk about. No, I don't think we'll pick up a good second baseman. Meanwhile, speaking of good, awards week. Dallas Keuchel got his what is it, 243rd Golden Glove, I think.
I mean,
Which is nice because this may be his last year as a professional baseball player. So he goes
well, it
out.
is. It is.
Goes out with an award.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, Keuchel's a great fielder. It's a well-deserved award. I
And in the
definitely,
tradition of Mark Burley.
yeah, I along with others were curious as to how you can win that award when the balls are always leaving the infield in the park, but maybe he watches the ball
Yeah,
sail into the
that's
gap
kind of an
better.
habitual award. Guys win that, pitchers win that over and over and over
Yeah.
again. I mean, great Maddux, deservedly, but he had at least 100 of them. And your crafty pitchers, crafty lefties, usually like Burley and Keuchel, but a crafty righty like Maddux, And it goes back to, I think Bobby Shantz may have been the very first one. Your craft, prototypical crafty lefty. That kind of, the Bob Gibson one, who was about the least crafty guy, is just take this and swallow it, sucker. What he did. But yeah, a lot of that. Other awards, we did not get any gold gloves other than Keuchel. We did not get any Rookie of the Year or really any votes, which no surprise there. And the gold glove, I think obviously Luis would be in the running, but he just played so little that it couldn't
Yeah,
be considered.
I mean, if Luis plays a whole season, he wins the Gold Glove in center field.
No rookie. And again, no reason for there to be a rookie. There wasn't anybody in contention. Manager of the Year, which in the American League, no big surprise, Kevin Cash. My pick would have been Scott Servais, who came in second, because I thought what he did with Seattle was superb. But you got him Cash. I mean,
I
for
guess
Tampa
you
Bay
have.
to compete in that American League East is crazy.
Exactly. It's one of those things where at first I'm like, how did Scott Servais not get it? This was a manager whose team we thought was going to maybe be in the basement of the AL West. Well, they would be ahead of the Rangers, but just above the basement of the AL West. And then you look at the Rays and you're like, but the Rays are, how, why does Kevin Cash get it? The Rays are always good now. And you're like, yeah, except they are also still kind of a bunch of nobodies. So,
But
especially after Glasnow gets
on a
hurt.
payroll about a quarter the size of the Yankees and the Red Sox and
That's what
Toronto,
I
I think,
mean.
evidently.
They're financial nobodies. So it's
I
I'm
just watched Moneyball last night, incidentally, so I'm really big on the financial
Oh,
nobodies.
really? Was this your first time?
Yeah, I mean, I was very familiar with it and I read it, but I had not seen the movie. So your mother was gone, so I thought, well, I'll watch Moneyball.
I watch Moneyball a couple times a year. I love that movie. I think it's great. That
Then manage oh I'm manager of the year, Tony La Russa, the great Hall of Famer baseball person with whom you may be familiar, came in sixth. How in God's name he come into the top six? He had no first place votes. How he had any second place votes, I don't know what he did. One of them was Scott Merkin, the duty butt kisser on MLB.com, who was paid to say things wonderful about the White Sox and is not really a reporter of any kind. But there were actual, I guess, kind of reporters, one guy from the AP that Tony in the third place vote or something like that. How the
Well, you got to
I mean, a
remember
team that
who's
should have won
voting.
100 and some games in that division.
Yeah, those votes. I'm actually really relieved La Russa got sixth. I mean, I had a big fear that he was gonna be in contention for the title without deserving it in any way, shape, or form, which was just gonna make all of my arguments on Twitter a lot harder. And fortunately, he did not. I mean, people were gonna vote for La Russa. Like people just, there are people out there where Tony can, for some reason, do no wrong whatsoever, even when he pretty exclusively does wrong. I'm thankful he just didn't end up higher in that voting. But regardless of where he ended up, we still have him next year. So whoopee.
And I think for as long as I'm alive, anyway, probably not as long as you're alive, because he won't be alive. But Jerry Reinsdorf, apparently he's got another good 30 years in him, and he'll bring his old buddy along. He can hobble out there, do the La Russa turkey trot, and stay. I
I mean, the one thing
don't.
that's good about La Russa is when you watch a game and he comes out of the dugout and he looks like he's gonna run, it's pretty exciting to watch.
It
I
is.
know
It is.
my wife is very much, I'll be like, oh, La Russa's mad, and she'll come flying in from another room and she'll be like, is he gonna run? Just as she calls him Flat Butt Tony. Because she loves seeing that flat butt glide all the way out to the pitcher's mound. But
Award
yeah.
we forgot. Liam Hendricks, reliever of the year in the American League. Not a big surprise there.
Back to
Probably
back.
not really the best saves percentage record, but with Hendricks, He is so entertaining, and this game is about entertainment. He is the most entertaining guy you can possibly think of out there, in addition to being a great guy in general. But I mean, it's just fun to watch Liam Hendricks on the mound, even when he's maybe especially when he's not having a good day.
Yeah, I mean, if they can microphone him on a bad day, there's no better television. You know, I'm a huge fan of Succession on HBO, but it's got nothing compared to a mic'd up Liam Hendricks on a bad day in terms of language and anger, volatility. I think he absolutely should get that award. Yeah, it's tough when you're a White Sox fan because you see him and you just think, man, I don't know if Hendricks has really been doing it. I don't know if he's been that good, but he's actually been great all year. Our expectations.
It's just on the days the slider isn't working, it's a problem. But yeah. Most days it's working, and he is just, those cases, he is so dominant.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a great award. I'm glad Liam got it. I think he deserved it. And you can point to a couple other guys in the AL, and there's arguments for them as well. But when it comes down to it, who's the most fun and good person to watch close out a Major League Baseball game? And the answer, hands down, is Liam Hendricks. So that's a good award. In terms of other awards, we have some that haven't come out yet.
Right, no MVP yet. Cy Young.
Cy Young will come out today. It'll come out in about 4.5 hours. Lance Lynn up for that. Highly unlikely he'll win.
Won't get it, but he's finalist.
NL Cy Young, they're talking about Zach Wheeler, which, you know, 4 months ago was not someone in the conversation. So that's interesting.
Wheeler's fantastic.
Then the MVPs, first off, it has to go to Shohei Ohtani. I mean, he's, I think, got to be unanimous at this point. If he's not, something's horribly wrong. Because he was, you know, he put together one of the best seasons we've seen since Babe Ruth era. And then on the other side, it's looking like it's going to be Bryce Harper, which is fine. I think, you know, obviously these are player achievements. Your team should not necessarily go into account when you're figuring out who to award these to, but to have your Cy Young and your MVP in the NL both come from a team that horribly underachieved, disappointed, didn't even make the playoffs. I feel weird about that. I don't love it. I mean, obviously we've given Mike Trout the MVP 45 times. And as I've mentioned, if you haven't been listening, the Angels are always a disappointment. But I do think it's a bit of a bummer to have both the NL MVP and NL Cy Young come from a team that really underachieved dramatically the entire year, and were sort of a headlining disappointment. I don't know how you feel about that, but it's weird to me. It's weird. You usually see, you know, they always say in the NBA, like, if you're, you'd be the best player in the world, if your team doesn't make the playoffs, you're not getting an MVP award.
Well, I think it is somewhat different. Well, I think it's a lot different between basketball and baseball, because basketball is a team sport. Yes, dominated by a given individual or two or three here or there. Baseball is really a one-on-one sport in a team atmosphere. It's really a sport of pitcher against batter, and then it becomes batter against guy trying to catch it. Whereas basketball, everything's moving at all times, and if you're not defending your guy, heaven help the guy over to the side of you, and that kind of thing. It's not so much the case in baseball.
I hear you on that, and I mean, there is something to be said about, you know, for someone like Wheeler, if he gets the guy out, you know, that is his only job. It's not Wheeler's job to get the guy out and make a play from shortstop and hit the home run to tie the game. So I'm perfectly fine with,
except for Ohtani. He's supposed to do all those
except
things.
For Ohtani, who does all of those things and is why he will be unanimous, I think, tomorrow when we learn about that. But yeah, I was a little surprised that it's leaning that way. But also the National League MVP race is pretty terrible. It's pretty collectively everyone knows and is talking about how this is a really lousy MVP year for the National League. On the other side, you've got Otani and Vlad Guerrero Jr., who would both be MVP. You know, if you moved either to the National League, they both win. The National League just didn't produce a real standout star. You know, you look at someone like, oh, it likely could have been someone like an Acuña Jr. or something like that. But, you know, he was hurt very early on. The Braves ended up winning the World Series anyway. But, it's kind of a lackluster award season. The only thing I can really get excited about is Otani maybe taking a unanimous just because he is so special and really good for the game. But yeah, so that's about all the time we have for today. Do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up this?
I'm done. I'd wish happy Thanksgiving, but I guess we could do one the day before Thanksgiving, so I won't do that yet.
Fair enough.
Safe travels for Thanksgiving.
Yes, safe travels. I will actually be coming at you from the Midwest coast for the Thanksgiving episode. And I would say let's skip it and come back in December, but there might not be baseball anymore, so we better do one last podcast while we think there's still going to be baseball, and there might be some pretty interesting moves over the next 6 days. So I encourage listeners to keep an eye on the market. I think it's going to be moving and moving quick and moving hot. And we will see you, you know, as we do our pre-Turkey Day eating to prep our stomachs so that we can gorge ourselves on Thursday. But yeah, any final words from the geezer?
Yep.
Oh, love to hear it. That's the best of the geezer's final words. Thank you all so much for listening to our comeback episode, and we will see you next time on Sharing Socks.